So it is Thanksgiving this morning. Well, it's not Thanksgiving this morning, but it's Thanksgiving Sunday this morning. We're all getting ready for the week ahead, which will culminate in the Thanksgiving celebration. And it is a good time to give thanks. But you know, every time is a good time to give thanks when you think about it. And if you read my article in this week, in this month's Communion, our newsletter, you'll find that there are some really great reasons to give thanks. But if you can't be bothered, don't worry. I've got five good reasons to give thanks for you today. The first is it can lower your stress and lower your blood pressure. So right away, just giving thanks, you have an immediate physical reaction, good benefits for that, something that you can actually measure. It also gives you more optimism. You know, some people say whether you're an optimist, whether you're a pessimist, but I think that these things are not fixed. You can be more optimistic or more pessimistic. And one of the ways of being more optimistic is just to give thanks, find gratitude. Here's some that might appeal to some of you. Giving thanks can slow down the aging clock. As I hit 45 this year, I started to recognize that there is an aging clock. But this can help slow down the aging clock. It can help slow down things. And a lot of that has to do with stress and with worry. And so by decreasing our levels of stress and worry, by focusing more on being thankful, it can slow that down. It can give you better relationships, being thankful for one another. It can tie communities together more strongly. It can build one, you can build one another up by being thankful for one another. And lastly, it can give you a slimmer waistline. Studies have shown that by practicing a regular practice of gratitude reduces cortisol levels in your bloodstream, which can help add to weight loss. So all of these reasons are good to give thanks. And of course, we here in the United States have a holiday of Thanksgiving, a day set aside, and we like to think that we are the first country that has set aside, or has been, since we are the first country that has set aside a specific day, a holiday for giving thanks, we like to think, yeah, we're really, really on the forefront of this. We kind of came up with this. But people have been giving thanks for millennia, for centuries. In fact, just about every culture has some kind of celebration of Thanksgiving. And so today we're going to look at what it means to be thankful here today in our church. And we're structuring that around what I'm calling the three lists of thanks. And the first list is that of blessings. So you'll notice on the front of your bulletin, if you didn't pass, put it too far. I know sometimes we'd like to put our bulletin aside and just sit back and listen. But today is going to be an active sermon today. So the first list is that of blessings. Now, as I said before, blessings are not unique to our culture, not even unique to Christian culture. In fact, even before the birth of Jesus, there was a Jewish festival of Sukkot, which is also known as the Festival of Booths. And this festival was initially a Thanksgiving festival for the fruit harvest. And in Sukkot, the first thing that people do is they build kind of a structure. And every meal is eaten in that structure. And it's to recall the tabernacle that the Jews had as they were wandering throughout the wilderness. It's a temporary dwelling. It's not meant to be permanent, but it is also a dwelling that is used kind of as an escape. It's kind of a little vacation. You go into this place and it's different. It's separate from your normal housing, separate from your normal life. Kind of like if you're a person who enjoys camping, who likes going off into the wilderness, sleeping in a tent just to get away from it all. That's kind of what this is like. And a lot of what it's done in there is reflection on the blessings of God and being thankful. So it's an 8-day festival, and every meal is, like I said, every meal is eaten in the sukkah, and some even sleep in there. And as a temporary dwelling, the sukkah also represents the fact that all existence is fragile, and it is time to appreciate the shelter of our homes and time to give thanks for what we have. So here's a couple more. In Greece, ancient Greece, you can celebrate Thesmophoria. Got it on the first try. Practice that. And this is a festival that was also around the time of sowing, and it is a festival in honor of Demeter and Persephone. And this is interesting, of all these festivals, this one was restricted to only adult women. And the rites that were practiced in secret. They wouldn't tell anyone. And it was rites that were supposed to provide fertility both for the people and for the land, so there would be a good harvest. So I don't know what goes on there, but if there is there's a Greek comedy that takes place during this festival that is a sort of a send-up of the whole thing. It's very fun. All right, so you can also move on to Egypt, festival in honor of Min, another harvest festival that was given thanks. All of these occurred for thousands of years. And this one also featured a parade. How many of you are looking forward to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade on Thanksgiving? Well, you know, the Egyptians came up with it first. And after this parade, a great feast was had. So we're not even unique in our traditions here. And lastly, even in China, from the Ming Dynasty in 1000 BC up until now, in China there is the Mid-Autumn Festival, which celebrates the harvest of rice. And it is given thanks, and it is celebrated in honor of the harvest moon. So the moon is sort of the central symbol of the Mid-Autumn Festival. People practice moon dances, and they have moon poetry, and they eat moon cakes, which are these round, sweet little cakes. And this idea of the moon, the circle, represents completeness and togetherness. And it is also a day of giving great thanks. Now, I think that it's easy for these kinds of festivals throughout to happen because they all praise blessings, right? They all give thanks for blessings. They are all around, whether it is an agricultural blessings of the harvest or blessings for community, blessings for family, people around. They all are united by this same goal of giving thanks for the blessings. Now, if you are cynical, you might say, well, yes, because all these cultures, they didn't know what was going to come with the weather, with the harvest, and so they wanted to make sure that they kept their gods happy. And if they got to be thankful to the gods so that the gods will then reward them with a plentiful harvest. But if you look at some of the actual practices of these festivals, they are something they really look forward to. And I think that's because people also looked forward to the ways in which being thankful made them feel. All the things I talked about at the beginning. All the ways in which the thankfulness is abundant in their lives. And as we come to our time today, we are reminded of the verses that we read in Psalm 100 that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, of that knowing that God is ours, knowing that we are God's, knowing that God made us, we are God's. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Knowing that God is good, that the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever. All of these things are blessings. And it is good to give thanks for our blessings. And so our first list today, our first list of thanks, is to list our blessings. And so I'm going to give you some time in prayerful contemplation to take out your bulletins, and if you have a pen, great, write them down. If you don't have a pen, just raise your hand, and our Ted will bring you our bouquet of pens so you can pick a wonderful color. So let us take some moments now and list our blessings. If you haven't finished yet, good. That's good. That's a good thing. You can continue this practice. In fact, it is good to list our blessings every day to reflect on these things. But now we're going to move on to list two. And list two, the second list of thanks is people. And if you listed people on your first list, that's okay. People can be blessings to us. But I want to focus on people because I think that people, being thankful for those around us, it helps us to realize that we are not alone, helps us to realize that we are part of greater community. And when we express our gratitude towards others, it also helps us bind our binding with them. And, you know, when I think about Thanksgiving, the holiday, I often will think of people. Like, I don't know that I've ever spent a Thanksgiving holiday alone. It's the kind of holiday where you, if you are alone, you try to find a place to go, trying to find people to be with. And so Thanksgiving is a time to spend with people. And have you ever seen the commercials on television where they give you some kind of, there's some kind of medication with some outlandish promise? And then at the end of the medication commercial, they'll have a tag that'll say, results may vary. So it's, this person lost 100 pounds, but your results may vary. Well, I feel that way about Thanksgivings. You know, a lot of times when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about something like Norman Rockwell, very picturesque Thanksgiving. But you know, Thanksgivings may vary. Yours might be a little bit more like this. A little bit wackier, a little sillier. Or it could be maybe you have a really unique Thanksgiving and it's just really super. You have a very super Thanksgiving. But if you're like me, your Thanksgiving is a lot more, a little bit less Norman Rockwell and a lot more Simpsons. Where it's just sort of people coming in and out all the time. You never quite know what's going to happen. I feel like there was, no matter how much we planned for, there was always one more run to the store that had to be done because eggs! We didn't have any. How do we not have eggs? And, but even with all of the kind of chaos and things, there are still some really wonderful traditions around Thanksgiving. And in our house growing up, we had three traditions. We had the parade. That was tradition number one. Always had to get up and watch the Thanksgiving Day parade. If you were up early enough, I lived on the West Coast. I grew up in San Jose. So if we were up at 6, you could watch the parade live. I never watched the parade live. But if you get up at 9, you can watch the replay of the parade. And so that's what I often would watch. And then after the parade was over, it's time for what? Football. Not quite lunch yet. We were a late dinner kind of family, but we would watch football, and that's probably because my mom wanted to watch football. And so football was another tradition that Thanksgiving always had a great football game. And then the last tradition in my household was pumpkin pie. And this was specific to me because I was always in charge of making the pumpkin pie. I'm not quite sure how I got that role. I think it was because I complained about the pumpkin pie one year, and my mom said, well, if you don't like it, next year you make the pumpkin pie. And I said, fine, I will. And from then on, I was tasked with making the pumpkin pie. But I really enjoyed it, and so I had to make sure I got it all done before the turkey had to go in the oven, which might be another reason why we ate so late. But no matter what your tradition, it's not really about the food or the parade or even the football. It's really about the people. It's about spending time with one another. You know, I was talking about the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival and how the moon is a symbol of that. And the moon is a circle. And because the circle in Chinese culture represents completeness. And during the festival, this idea of completeness is best symbolized by people sitting around a circular table, a family coming together, being together as one. And that is also kind of what it's like at our Thanksgivings. Now, maybe your favorite tradition of Thanksgiving is avoiding your family. There are some people who don't really like spending time with their family, or it's something that they would rather, that's something that they have to endure rather than celebrate. But I think when we talk about giving thanks for people in our lives, it might not be our family, or rather our family of origin. It might be our family of choosing. It might be a group that we have that have adopted us into their family. But no matter who it is, I think that it's really beneficial for us, for them, to take time to reflect and to give thanks for the people in our lives. Oh, I wanted to also mention that we kept the banners up for today, because I think it is also good to remember those who have come before us. Being thankful for people does not necessarily mean being thankful for people we see every day, but for people who have touched our lives in one way or another, even those who have perhaps moved on. And so as we look up at our banners of our saints that have come before us, as we reflect on all of the people who have meaning in our lives, we're going to take some time and prayerful reflection to give thanks for people. Again, I hope your list is not complete, and it will be something that you more and more people will be added to that list. All right, so our third list is challenges. This is the tough one. And as we talk about Thanksgiving, there's actually a long history of challenges around the holiday of Thanksgiving, starting way back with the Mayflower. I don't know how much you know about the story of the Mayflower, but the Mayflower wasn't even the first boat that the Puritans tried to get to the new land on. The first boat they tried got a bunch of leaks, and so they had to swap it out for this one. And of the 120 people initially that were going to go, only 106 were able to fit on the new boat, or maybe the other ones decided, this doesn't seem like a real endeavor worth taking. They also left at an unadvisable time of year, so they landed in the winter months, at the end of fall actually, and it was quite challenging. They got hit storms, blew them off course. They wanted to go at the mouth of the Hudson River. They ended up north on Cape Cod. They got blown up that way, and so that is why after some time they settled in Plymouth. But by the time they settled, they were very depleted. It was the winter, and so only about half of the original 106 people made it to spring. And so by that fall, they were so thankful that they had been able to endure the harsh winter, get a planting season, and have an actual harvest, that they had this feast, this Thanksgiving time. But that was not the beginning of Thanksgiving as we know it. In fact, that was not even celebrated until centuries later, when Josephina Hale, who is known as the mother of Thanksgiving, also the one who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, incidentally, she felt so strongly that the states should have a holiday dedicated to thanks, a national holiday dedicated to thanks, she began writing letters to the presidents. Now, you might have heard of this story and know that it was Abraham Lincoln who first had it become a national holiday. But I bet you didn't know that she started writing those letters 17 years before. So she wrote to Presidents Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, and Lincoln before it was finally decided, and mostly because of the Civil War, that they needed something to uplift, something to unite the country, something to give them a unifying day after the stresses of that Civil War, that Lincoln finally decided that this would be something that would be worthwhile. So she had great challenge, right? She had a great challenge into creating this into a holiday. And she was the one who you can blame for having turkey and stuffing on Thanksgiving, because the original Puritans believed that they did not have any turkey, certainly not stuffing, or no pumpkin pie, because they had no sugar. But she was the one who said, we can have this holiday and we can all celebrate, and I think we should serve turkey and stuffing. But as we even think about this holiday of Thanksgiving, we can't now think about it without thinking about how fraught the memory of this story is. That this land that the Puritans settled on was cleared and available because earlier English settlers had wiped out some of the native population there, had brought the disease of smallpox that can kill an entire tribe. The Puritans had a wonderful relationship around them with the local tribes, mostly so that they would be protected from some of the other tribes and from some of the other settlers in the land. And so, though they settled in 1621, and they did create a harmony with the local tribe, the Wampanoag tribe, but it didn't last very long. In fact, it was in 1675 that the colonists and the tribes were at war with one another. So in thinking about the history of Thanksgiving and thinking about the history of colonialism, we are also challenged. We are challenged in this way as well. We are challenged to look upon our history. We are challenged because it is hard. It is hard to see the effects of colonialism. But from these challenges, we can grow stronger. From these challenges, we can gain empathy and understanding. We can correct our mistakes. We can repair. We can restore where there is opportunity. And we can refrain from making the same mistakes in the future. And that is the thing about challenges, is that nobody enjoys necessarily having hard things. Nobody enjoys failures. But it is the challenges that make us stronger. It is the challenges that help us to grow, that help us to stretch. One of my favorite prayers that we have prayed is to say, God, help me not to have challenges that meet my abilities, but help me to have the ability to meet my challenges. So as we contemplate our third list, the list of challenges. What challenges can you be grateful for? These can be challenges that you have faced and overcome. These can be challenges that you face today. How can you find gratitude in those moments? How can you find thankfulness for the ways in which you are being challenged, the ways which you are being called to grow, to change, to rethink, to reframe? What are ways in which you can be thankful to God for giving you these challenges? So let us prayerfully contemplate this as we fill out our third list. That one probably you're not aching to keep going on about, but maybe like the other ones. Well, here you have your three lists. These are not complete lists. These are not in stone. These are things that will constantly be changing, constantly be updating. And so I invite you to keep these lists in mind. Keep these lists in mind in your prayer time when you stop and you pray to God. Thanking God for the blessings, thanking God for the people in your life, thanking God for the challenges that God puts before you. Because I think that if we approach our lives with gratitude, being grateful in all things, we will find not only the benefits for our body, for our mind, for our soul, but also the benefits for our community, the benefits that are shared amongst each other, the benefits for this church as a whole and for our community as a whole. With that, I say amen.